chanson. Écoutez et répétez.
Well, I love cubism. It's my favorite style. When I see a cubist painting, I just gotta smile. But there's one painter I'm his biggest fan. He's the father of cubism. His name's Cézanne. Cézanne.
Est-ce que vous parlez français? Oh, bonjour, mes amis. And this morning I welcome three people from PICA. And they're going to tell you what they are planning in their jewel-studded passageways over in the Pearl District. And they've been getting their heads together, and they have quite a fabulous program already. And so the art program director is here, and that's Aaron Boberg. And Aaron has been here before.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Julie.
And the performing arts program director, who is Brian. And Brian, what's your last name again?
It's Brian Costello, and I'm actually the work in PR and development for PICA.
Brian
Aaron
Costello.
Aaron handles our performing.
Okay, and then, of course, there's Kristen Kennedy, is an old friend of ours who's been here many a time.
Hi, Julie.
And given us the rundown. And she is the, let's see, she is, I've got this all mixed up.
I'm the visual art program
director.
You got it.
Okay, now I'm going to let each one of you describe what it is that you do. And Brian has already given us a little description. Give us a little bit more description. How long have you been at doing this time-based art? And how long have you been with PICA?
Well, I've been at PICA now for just over a year, although I was a long time volunteer and I interned many, many, many years ago. But the Time-Based Art Festival is now in our fourth year, and it is a contemporary art festival that covers theater and dance and film and music. And this year we're also incorporating visual arts into the festival, and I'll let Aaron and Kristen talk more specifically about that.
That is good. I approve of that highly, because I have missed it in other years. Okay.
Well, we've always had a lot of projects that we call crossover projects that blur the boundaries between different disciplines. So this year we're really stretching even further to include more projects and in the visual arts. And Kristen and I, even though my title's performing arts director and hers is visual arts, we really collaborate together quite a bit. And we also work with a guest artistic director, Mark Russell, who's in New York but comes to Portland about once a month. And the three of us have a pretty lively discussion on a daily basis about what categories to put work in, or hopefully not to put work in any category at all.
Oh, okay. Now, when is Mark Russell coming? When do we get to hear from him?
Well, he comes about once a month. Next time he'll be here is for our birthday party on May 6th. We're having a kickoff event for TBA. It's called Tada, and it's on May 6th.
Yeah.
And it will be at Audio Cinema, where our works program, our late night program, will be during the festival. So you could get a sneak preview of that kind of nightclub atmosphere. And some of the performers who will be on the festival will have Bretta Rorschach and the Music Population Project there. We'll have Andrew Dixon, who's been on the festival before, returning. We'll have Fleshtone
and Copy.
And those are all artists who will be involved in TBA.
And DJ Anjali
is
also performing. There's going to be a lot of other surprises. It's sort of two parties in one night. There's a patron dinner starting at 6 o'clock, which the tickets are $150. It's a fundraiser. It all benefits PICA. And then at 10 o'clock, the birthday party, dance party starts, and the tickets for that are $15 general, $10 for members. And if you call PICA office, which is 503-242-1419, if you call and get your tickets advance, there's $5 off the birthday party ticket. And I believe also the birthday party ticket also includes two free drink tickets with it, too. So it's going to be pretty raucous and exciting and fun. And it's a great way. And we'll be be kicking off the announcement of all of the artists that are going to be coming for TBA. We'll be talking about some of them today. But May 6th is going to really be the big push to get it all off and running in time for TBA in September, which also the dates for TBA is the 7th through the 17th. Is sort of the core of the festival, although the visual...
Of September,
thank you. Though the visual arts programming will stay up longer throughout the month, and I think Kristen can talk more about that.
Okay.
It's sort of a new thing for us this year.
Well, Kristen, I think it's your turn to talk now, my dear.
All right, I'm all prepped and ready.
I want to say that you have a exhibition of your work, that you are a painter,
yes.
And an exhibition of your work right now at the Liz Leach Gallery.
Yes, I am. I have a couple of pieces in a group show called Fresh that's at Elizabeth Leach this month and next month. So you have 2 months to go in and see it. And I've been included with a group of emerging artists from all over the country. So there's lots of good stuff to see. There.
Good. Yeah. Okay.
But I also have been with PICA for quite a bit as a volunteer, just like Brian, and then as a board member. And then I did PR and marketing for 3 years there, which was a funny job for me to have. But I like talking about art, so it worked out all right. And now I'm helping to organize the visual art program. And like Aaron said, we work pretty collaboratively on that. On all of the programming for TBA. And this year I've programmed several video installations and a special project by an artist, Matthew Day Jackson, who was just featured in the Whitney Biennial. And he'll be coming out in May, actually, to do some research about the Multnomah Falls region and start working on a project here that will debut in September, as well as... Harold Fletcher's new exhibition, The American War, which is based off a trip that he took, a residency in Vietnam, and he went and visited the War Remnants Museum there. And, of course, they call the Vietnam War the American War. And so he re-photographed the museum and is presenting it sort of through his eyes for us to view their perception of our war. So there's some... really intense political subject matter in the work that I've put together. And there's also a lot of work that talks about magic and myth and kind of revisionist history. And so some of the video artists like Marina Abramovich, who is just here, we're going to be presenting her work, Balkan Erotic Epic. And that is a five-channel video installation about Balkan myth and sexuality in Balkan myth. And she dresses up in traditional costume along with the townspeople in this particular region, and they reenact the myth. And it's pretty beautiful, very cinematic and funny and challenging. So,
okay. Well, now we want to be reminded again of all these things. And so I'll be in touch.
That's right.
As we get closer to the grand days, how many days? 2 weeks, isn't it?
Well,
time-based art.
It's 10 really focused days, and then we'll have an opening night event on September 7th. We have a free event in Pioneer Courthouse Square by John King. He's a composer from New York who works with Merce Cunningham and other people, and he's composing a piece for TBA that will be played by 50 local electric guitarists. And if you are an electric guitarist, you can call PICA and sign up for an audition, because we're going to need a lot of people. And he'll have a composition that's played by, you know, all these people on the steps at Pioneer Square. And then we'll all walk over together to Audio Cinema, Crossing Over the Bridge. We're doing more events on the east side this year in the KBOO neighborhood.
Oh, good.
And... Then we'll have 10 days of performances that go, you know, from morning till night. We have workshops in the morning. We have artist talks in the afternoon and lots of performances in the evening. All of the exhibitions will be open during that time. That's September 7th through the 17th. And then the visual exhibitions will stay open for another two or three weeks afterwards through the whole month of September.
Okay. Now, there's something that I've been curious about for a while, and that is how does the city of Portland take the time-based art? Are they helpful and accepting?
Absolutely. I mean, I like to say there's the city of Portland and then there's the city of Portland. And the official city of Portland and Sam Adams in particular are very supportive of the festival financially and also just in terms of helping us get things done. Like if we want to close a street or we want an artist wants to do something in a fountain or... we can go to them with the artist's questions, and they're usually very, very receptive and helpful in helping us figure things out or how to find a building or how to get a permit to get something to happen. So I think we're really lucky. And then the city of Portland itself, the people of Portland also are incredibly supportive of the festival. And the artists who we have who come from other parts of the country and other parts of the world are always really impressed by the city and walking around and the people they meet, the restaurants, the shops, the beautiful parks, and just the whole experience that they have in the city.
That's
outside
wonderful.
Of the festival. Yeah.
So there's cooperation and curiosity and friendliness.
That's been our experience.
Toward all these things that people have never seen before on the street, things going on and that are visually interesting.
We do present some pretty challenging work, and I think Portland is a really open and educated and curious community.
Yeah. And the other thing about the festival is that it's a tremendous opportunity for interaction with the artist to have access to the audience and the audience also to have access to the artist. I mean, very few festivals do you have as much crossover between the workshops and the lectures and the panels that you can hear during the day. Then you can watch that same artist at a main stage performance that night, and then you can go to the works and have a beer with them in the evening. And they're the artists love that because they get access to everybody and talk about their work and other artists as well. So it's a really, really intense building of community over a very short period of time.
Now, is it, Brian, too early for me to ask where people will meet for the discussion periods? Because I think those are very important and fun.
Well, we're very close to nailing down a lot of our locations. Like, we know that Audio Cinema is going to be the works. We know some of the places we've used in the past, like the Newmark Theater and Lincoln Hall and a few others. There's a few that we're still working on that will be sort of surprises, new for us, new for Portland as well. So we'll be having those, and those will be coming out, I mean, July 1st when the catalog actually is presented. May 6th at Tada is where the brochure will be presented that lists all of the artists that are coming, and then we're still working trying to find the spaces that everyone will be performing and installing their work in, and, you know, how to get to everything and how that will all work.
Including the activities that are going to form around this neighborhood, and I suppose you're thinking of what do they call it?
The Central East Side Industrial District?
Yeah. And in there, are you going to be doing anything over in North Portland?
We don't have any plans to do anything in North Portland at the moment, but it's certainly an area we'd like to grow into as the festival grows. We did have an artist project there last year in a shop called Office, which was great because there was an artist who wanted to do a project in a store. So really what we do is we start with the artists in the festival, and then we find the spaces that fit the kind of work that they want to make.
Uh-huh.
So I wouldn't rule out any neighborhood right now for the reach.
I was thinking of the Doug Fir, and I couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
I can't ever remember that name. Then my memory is not quite as good as it used to be anymore. It's chock full, but I can't pull things out every once in a while. So what about the Wonder Gallery and some of those art places? There's Gallery 333, and I would think that it might be a good idea to pull some activity over into that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. That might be a direction we go. I think right now one of our goals with the festival is to try to keep it really pedestrian friendly.
Yes.
So
okay.
We try to concentrate our activities as much as possible so that one could walk between venues or bike between venues or bus between venues. We really want people to get out of their car and have that same pedestrian experience that the visitors to the festival have who are coming here from other parts of the country or other countries.
Uh-huh.
And when you get out, I know probably a lot of KBOO listeners are already, you know, walkers and bicyclists.
Sure.
You have a great experience of the city in an aesthetic way of just noticing different things, noticing other people and plants and businesses or a little coffee shop or something. And for us, that's part of the festival experience, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have a lot of projects that actually happen around the river. We're sort of thinking of the river as the center of the festival. It is the center of the city, and it's something that we cross over really often, sometimes without thinking about it. And a lot of the recent developments, like the Esplanade, have helped to focus our attention and get us physically closer to the river more than in the past. We'd like to build on that.
Remember the days or the evening when we all got out on the bridge and watched what was going on down on the river? There was a platform and music.
That was
the stage, one of the first activities that
Christy
had.
Performance. Yeah,
to bring the East Side and the West Side together.
That's right. Our founding artistic director, Christy Edmonds, did that piece as an artist, and it was called Over There, and it was before they built the Esplanade. I worked on that project a little bit with her, as did a lot of folks in our community. And there was a performance. We had dancers and a bagpiper and somebody making a huge painting. And you could see it. You could watch it from the west side or on the bridge.
Yeah.
And we're actually, we'll be doing some work in that area, too, which is a nice resonance from
our
past.
It was very experimental.
Mm-hmm.
But it brought people together, at least, on the bridge. It was a cold, windy night.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of fun, anyway. It was a people thing. And I love the idea of bringing the vast east side into the west side a little bit more.
We'll have some outdoor projects by David Eckert. He's working on a project called Float, where he wants to float down the river. That's something we'll be working on the city with. And we have another great film historian in town, Dennis Nyback, and an artist, Mac McFarland, who is just graduating from PNCA, have a project called The Portland That Was, and they'll be screening historic films under the bridges and in areas in the central east side and around the city that relate to where the content of that film.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let's tie into some of these, give an explanation of some of the other things besides Laurie Anderson. Would you like to pick out one, Brian, or to tell us about that makes you excited?
Well, I kind of think that Kristen and Aaron should talk about it. They're the ones that are really doing it. I know I have my favorites, and they're all my favorites, but I have ones that are particularly, that have different things that are interesting about them.
Well,
but
I'm giving you more of a chance because you're the only male here. And I think it's the first time you've ever been on KBOO.
Well, I'm honored for that opportunity.
But if you want to turn it over to Chris, I think that would be fine.
Well, I'll let Kristen start, and then I might pitch in with one later, I think.
Okay. But I need to ID the station. This is KBOO 90.7 FM, and we're talking with people from PICA this morning, and we're talking about the affair that's coming up one more time at the beginning of September, and that is time-based art, and we've had it now how many years again?
This will be our fourth
year.
Yeah.
So it is happening again, and they're already in the planning stages. Okay, Chris.
Well, I think that I'm going to talk about one project because I've already gotten a chance to talk about a few things I'm presenting, and then I'll pass the mic over to Aaron. I am particularly excited about a lot of the video installations. I've already mentioned Marina, but I'm also excited about a very simple single-channel video by an artist from Stockholm named Johanna Billing. And she has a very simple piece that was shot in an after-school center in Croatia with a group of children who are in, who seem to be in a perpetual rehearsal singing a song called Magical World that I think was originally sung by the Rotary Connection in 1968. So there's this really kind of harrowing, beautiful, poetic song sung in English, which is not their native language, by these Croatian children, and then really quick shots to their surrounding outdoor surroundings. And it's on a loop, so everyone's going to be driven crazy by this song, and it will be in their head. I was actually humming it on the way over here. But
Moment
I think
now. Let's have it.
I don't know if I'm ready to do that, but
you
I
can
will.
Do that.
I will say that the chorus is just, "I live in a magical world," and you repeat it three times, and it seems really kind of childlike and innocent. But when you place it in a country in transition, it starts to have all of these other meanings. And for us right now in our current climate. Globally, I think that we could all do good to recite and bring back a little magic. And I'm kind of, that's what I get excited about in the festival, is that these performances kind of tweak our brain in this other way, and the exhibitions will do the same, and we all get to be together having a conversation about what it all means. We don't really have any answers, but I think we need to keep asking questions about it.
This is what's so beautiful about this kind of art, that you view it and you think about it, and then you form a little circle and increase the importance of what you just saw and discover new ideas and listen to other people. It's great. It's a people thing, which I'm very much for, as everybody out there who's ever listened to me knows. And that's what time-based art does, that I think is so specifically wonderful, if you can be specific with wonderful.
I think Erin has
so
some projects
colorful
as well that she could speak to that kind of involve this categorization of people.
One of our central projects in the festival is by a group called Stan's Cafe from England, and their project is called "Of All the People in All the World." And they're doing the United States version for us. It'll be the premiere of that version. And what it is they bring a grain of rice for every person in the United States. So that'll be 300 million grains of rice, about, I think it's, I can't even remember
like
how many pounds it's in.
Three tons or something.
It's a huge amount of rice. And what they do is they sort it into different piles according to different statistics. Like, this is the number of people in the U.S. who have died of AIDS since 1980, or this is the number of people in Multnomah County who don't have health insurance. It's not all political. Some of them are funny, like, well, I guess this is political too, but like, this is Condoleezza Rice. or you can take yourself home in a bag that's just me, this one grain of rice. And we're working with Portland Public Schools and Mercy Corps locally to help come up with some of the statistics. Mm-hmm. And people can come and suggest statistics and talk to the actors who are sorting the rice. That'll happen over 10 days. And that's one of those projects that's really a visual installation and a performance, and a mix of both, and very interactive, and will be a great show to bring children to.
Oh,
it's a free show.
Yeah, exactly. That's free, and all of Kristen's visual installation projects are free as well, which is also exciting.
That's great.
Another project I think might be of interest to your listeners. There's an artist, Jerry Quickly, who's also a radio correspondent for Pacifica, and he went to Iraq as an unembedded reporter, and he's made a performance that speaks to his experience as an independent journalist and also from a hip-hop perspective about the conflict there. Mm. So that's a staged piece. And he's a really interesting young artist. And you mentioned Laurie Anderson, and we didn't. We talked about it in the lobby, but we haven't talked about it on the air. So I know that name probably perked a lot of people's ears, because although most of the artists in our festival, you might not recognize their names, Laurie's is a household name, and we're very proud to have her here back in Portland. And she'll be performing on September 8th and 9th. She's our big opening weekend performer.
And she is a wonderful performer. She's getting a little bit older now. Mm-hmm. How old would you say that Laurie Anderson is?
Oh, I don't want to embarrass myself by taking a guess. I
don't have to.
I would.
It's probably a dumb question.
Well, I would say that she is one of our most accomplished performance artists in
the
United States.
She's an original.
She is an original,
yeah.
And she is an inspiration to a lot of other artists.
Yes.
She works in music and in technology, and she just finished a residency with NASA.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be interesting to see what kind of work she's made with that new knowledge.
She likes Portland?
She does. She's been here a couple of times.
She's
and
been very successful
she's
here.
She's been very successful.
She should have some strong friends.
She does. And
she want to be on KBOO?
We can ask.
Find out. Because she can have any time she wants.
Okay.
I do know one of the things that we're doing with Tada is we're having a sort of auction of different time-based experiences, and one of them you can buy a ticket to have there's only 20 tickets. They're $1,000 a piece, but it all goes to the fundraiser of Pika and Laurie's performance and TBA, but you will, after you get a guaranteed seat at that first performance, and then after the performance you have a dinner with her and some other friends, and you get, you know, so there's a reception before the performance, you get a guaranteed best seat in the house during the performance of Laurie Anderson, and then at the close of the show, one of our patrons, Howard and Manya Shapiro, are going to host a dinner for people who would like to. So those tickets are $1,000, and we are selling them in advance of Tada, and then once Tada happens, they'll go to the highest bidder. So if you're interested, you can call Pika and buy those right now. So that's another great opportunity to have access to this amazing performer and artist.
Well, okay, KBOO listeners.
Save your pennies.
Save your pennies.
And it's a good cause.
For those of you who don't have $1,000 to spare,
right.
Another way that you can participate in the festival is by volunteering. And we use about 400 volunteers for the festival every year. And you can call Pike at 503-242-1419 to buy tickets or to sign up to volunteer or just to get on our mailing list that we'll send you a catalog when we have it finished.
Okay, that sounds good.
And the tickets to the show are actually considerably less than $1,000.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So you'll be able to access Lori no matter what your
thousands.
Budget is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you are just as important as the next guy who
That's
may
right.
be a millionaire. Okay, now there is somebody I located under Deborah Hay.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that you have Galen Hansen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Tell me about that.
You know Galen? Galen Hansen.
He's a Seattle person, or he's Washington.
Yeah. Galen Hansen is a dancer from and choreographer and artist from Seattle. And she, along with Peggy Piacenza and Amelia Reber from Seattle, have worked closely with Deborah Hay, who's another master artist, a choreographer who was part of the Judson Church back in the day and is a really seminal artist, although I hate to use a male term for Deborah, but
it's okay.
She is working with two groups of Northwest artists, that group from Seattle with whom she's made a new piece called Mountain that's inspired by her visions of the Cascades. And she also set a piece of work on two local Portland artists, Tawny Holt and Linda Austin. They'll be performing their solo adaptations of her work called Room. So you'll have the chance to see Deborah's work interpreted by regional artists.
Okay, and I didn't see any Buto dancers on the
Well, we do have a group from Japan, and they're not Buto, but they're
Is that how you pronounce it, Buto?
Well, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but that's how I have said it. But this group called Yubawa Hotel, and they're an all-female performance group, and their work is, Buto is a very contemporary form, but it has become its own tradition, and their piece called, it's called Candy's Girlish Hardcore. It's really its own new contemporary thing, and we hope that you can come and see it.
Okay. We are winding up now. We have a wind-up song, and I see Jim in there. And I would like to thank Emily for running the show this morning. And we have been talking to Kristen Kennedy, who is the visual and performing arts person, the visual art program director.
Correct.
Right. And Aaron Boberg Boughton.
Doubt.
Is that how I pronounce it? Okay, Eric Boberg Boughton, performing arts program director. She is the performing arts director. And Brian Costello, and he's the PICA public relations and development person. And I thank you for gathering here at KBOO.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much for having us.
I hope next time to get all the names correct and spelled right and pronounced right and everything. But you'll be on again, I hope. And I hope we'll get some of those performers on here, too.
We'll bring them in.
We're getting ready already for this adventure with art-based
time-based art.
And thanks again, you guys, for coming. And this is Julie Bernard and Art Focus.